Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name's Amin Alhassan. I'm wearing my spectacles today. My name's Amin Alhassan. And you see me from my beautiful mansion right here. I have a grand piano back there. We're just doing it up right here. I'm joined, as always, by Black Trey, Jay Skills, and Big Jerv. We got a hell of a show for you guys today. Power series, or season. I wish it was a series finale. Season finale. Lots of weird shit in there. Hey, do you know musty people? Why are they afraid of cancer from deodorant? I'm trying to figure this shit out as Kev on stage introduced us to somebody who uses a lemon as deodorant. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss that conversation. Also, Menace Society turns 30 years old. We hear from our resident Los Angelinos, Comptonians. I don't know what the fuck y'all call yourselves, whatever. They're going to tell us about the legacy of that movie, as well as some behind the scenes shit. Apparently Trey's cousin was in that movie. Did not know that. And Tina Turner passed away. We're going to remember her and we're going to give her her flowers as someone who did something that I don't think we see too often. You definitely don't want to miss it. But first, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you are locked in there. You are a Patreon. You're getting all the extra content, the OG pod, the rewatches with Cinephobe, access to the Discord. In addition, we're unveiling new tiers that give you new benefits, including ad-free listening. I know sometimes people complain about the ads. You get this pod all in full as well. Patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're tapped in there. All right, let's get it started.
I want you to talk about Menace real quick before you leave.
All right, so I don't know if y'all know. Y'all know Vontae, my cousin, right? Vontae Sweet?
Who's that?
Sharif.
Oh, for real? No, I didn't know.
Yeah. Nigga, I look just like the nigga.
I mean, shit. That don't mean
nothing. Nah, but I mean, you know, I got teased all the time, like as a kid. But yes, right. Dog. Tupac was obviously supposed to play Sharif and shit. My cousin ended up going on a magical nigga, run.
Which that Menace nigga Alan Hughes apologized. I don't know if y'all saw Dear Mama. And that nigga Alan Hughes apologized, like, he like basically like, yeah, I understand what Pac was saying now. Like, basically, I get why that nigga kicked my ass. Cause like he was like, nigga, I ain't playing no fucking docile ass, you know what I'm saying?
Like Old Dog wouldn't have been working, you know what I mean? Like basically Old Dog was the one that he ideally wanted, right?
Nah, but he was just saying that Sharif.
They wanted what do they want to cast him as?
He was supposed to be Sharif, but that was kind of what he was in LA, but he was like, nigga, ain't no Black Panther nigga gonna be this mild mannered. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit ain't realistic. And niggas was like, nah, this is the character. And he's like, nah, nigga, that shit don't make no sense. What the fuck y'all talking about? And then they got into it. And then basically in the documentary, the Dear Mama shit, he was like, yeah, I kind of see what Pac was saying now. Like, I get it. You know, obviously after he did all his research on the Black Panthers, because, you know, the nigga was like 25 or 26 when they wrote the shit. So they was just like, oh, yeah, this is a nigga. And Pac like, nigga, I lit this shit. What y'all talking about? Ain't no nigga like this.
Yeah. like that shit would. That movie saved my life, dog. Like, it painted the most realistic picture at 8 years old of what outside really looked like. Because, I still got a chance to be a kid throughout the madness. But that shit, when Kane or Ricky get shot in general, that shit just make me think about real life situations. Like, nigga not coming back, bro. So it was like, and it also peeled back a layer for the world to see, like, how L.A. really was. You know what I'm saying? Like, Boys in the Hood was cool. Ricky kind of dealt with the shit. But that was real gangbanging. You feel me? Like, and then you had niggas like, Chauncey. You had, Ket O-Dog. This nigga grandparents, most niggas live. You know, this nigga in the Jex. He in the PJs for sure. Like, that's our projects right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Blue Gates and shit. And just showing that shit, like, bro, the life choices that nigga was making, bro. Selling rock. You gotta think about that nigga checking his pager, nigga, in high school. Every nigga looked at the clock at 3 o'clock, nigga. That nigga barely even graduated, nigga. He was in summer school. That nigga looked at that shit, was out. And from there, they had that grad party. Cousin Harold gets smoked on his grad night. Like, nigga.
I gotta go rewatch Menace Society.
It's good, man. It's a long time since I watched it, bro.
I done seen that movie at least 100 times, bro. It blows my mind that, like, a lot of people don't know or, like, love that movie because it's the best, like, ever.
Better than Boys in the Hood to you?
For sure, because it's more authentic. When I first saw Menace, a lot of people even said this, like, niggas thought it was almost a documentary because it was so authentic seeming. And it's funny because we talk about Power with Lorenz Tate playing his goofy character in there, but, like, when niggas first seen Old Dog, because, you know, you see a lot of young, wild niggas, and that's kind of the character that, you know, shows the gangbanging aspect of, like, how turned up young niggas really used to be. And, you know, in Boys in the Hood, it's a lot more sterilized. You know, it's still a good, realistic movie, but, like, everybody in there is pretty square. You know what I'm saying? Even Doughboy is like,
right. Yeah, like he's,
but he ain't no, you know what I'm saying, running wild, gang bang right. ass niggas. Like, yeah. Menace, like the two main characters is both out of control, drug dealing, right. robbing, killing niggas, like, yeah. you know. And that these are the niggas that people that niggas in the street was scared of. You know what I'm saying? These are the niggas in the street that did end up going to jail or killing 10 niggas before they got caught up and all that shit. You know, so it's like when you see people like Dub C or Nipsey or you know what I'm saying, these rappers that like niggas see and like why they get all this respect is because like this is the shit that they actually came from. Like the boy yeah. shit was like. Like I said, it was just a little bit more sterilized.
It was like Boys in the Hood was like the regular niggas growing up.
Yeah.
In the hood. Whereas like Men's Society was like the wild ass niggas. Yeah. And I see it, man. I could see it.
Like, and it had a lot of good acting too. You had Samuel yeah. Jackson starting it off.
Was Jada Pinkett in there?
Jada Pinkett. This is Jada her Pinkett best role to me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She did her thing, and then it was just a lot of like good, like really,
her best role.
Jada Pinkett.
Charles S. Dutton plays yeah. like the voice of reason in the movie. Yeah. You know,
My nigga Rock.
Yeah, niggas forget about that show. That was a good little
shout out to Rock, dog. He did a whole season live, yo. For niggas was doing it live, Rock did a whole season live, yo.
Yo, that's funny. Like, Jerv, you push back on Jada Pinkett's best role. Why now? Why is that? What do you think?
Not push back. I just I didn't think of it like that. But then as I think, I'm like, what the fuck yeah. else?
Jerry goes at Miss Purdy when she was Miss Purdy and Nutty Professor.
I mean,
Carla Purdy.
Which part she was good at? Shameless. I'm mean, not Shameless. Low down dirty.
Yeah, I mean, really that was a silly movie. She's a silly role in a movie, like it was an action movie, but she was definitely 90% comic relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I would say it's between that poetic, no, not poetic justice.
Set it off.
That, yeah. You know what? Jada Pinkett really gets a lot of respect for not having that, like. A crazy resume.
Well, a different world is
okay.
Legendary.
I think she's also in the Inkwell with Lorenz Tate.
Yes.
I
don't know if you guys. Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah, that movie. That movie was.
That was a good movie.
I love that movie, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of like black people probably don't know that either.
Yo, so this is crazy. Menace Society was her first movie role. Her first movie role. Then 93 Menace Society. Listen to this run. 94, Inkwell, Jason's Lyric, and Low Down Dirty Shame. Mm-hmm. Then 95, she was in some movie called Demon Night. Don't know about that. And then 96, The Nutty Professor, Set It Off, and then If These Walls Could Talk. 97, the first scene in Scream 2 before she gets killed in the theater. Yeah. And then 98, Woo, Welcome to Hollywood, Return to Paradise. Blossoms and Veil. I don't know about all that shit. All right. So, I'll tell you what, one of her best roles. I'll give you three movies. Bamboozled,
mm-hmm.
where she plays the TV exec. Ali, where she plays one of Muhammad Ali's wives. And Collateral.
Collateral is definitely up there with
Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise. Yeah. I think those.
Oh, but yeah, no, she was really good in that.
Yeah, Menace Society definitely.
Well time out. Was she really good in Collateral? Is Collateral just a fucking good ass movie?
Dog, it's a good ass movie.
It's a good ass movie, but she bought it. Like,
what does she do in the movie?
She's the. Remember, she's.
No,
she's
I know, the, but like, I don't remember her acting being that wise. Much.
Yeah.
Like, acting wise, there really wasn't much for her in that movie.
I don't know. Like, I thought she
was more Jamie and Tom Cruise. Like, I mean,
Yeah. I feel you, Jared. But the scenes that she's in, she does do her job well. But that's why I said Menace, because she's low-key the star of the film. You know, like, she carries it.
She blew up. Yeah, she carries it. She blew up off
of that. Y'all felt like she was one of the stars of the film?
Yeah. Menace? She probably has most of the
like,
time.
Her, other like, than the people that like people walked away from that movie was Lorenz Tate and her. Like those are the people like fuck. Uh-huh. What a like Tyron Turner technically is the the main the star right?
That's Kane. Like,
yeah, Kane.
Okay. Like, his shit was.
That's so strange.
Yeah,
no,
I guess so. Yeah, yeah.
How like that? Like what happened to everybody in that movie? And that's why it's so interesting too to look at like that, because Tyron Turner didn't really become anything after that.
Did you see that interview he just had?
He said he was like fucking shit off, basically.
No. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he said when they reached out to him about Belly.
Mm-hmm. He
thought he was going to get Tommy.
Tommy, yeah.
But then it was like, no.
He went to the country motherfucker. So he tried to sabotage it.
Right. Yeah, I did see that.
It turned out to be the shit.
Yeah.
But that was weird though, that he didn't have any sort of like other like leading or side character roles and anything else. Like, and then even Lorenz Tate, like basically he played against that character like for the rest of his career.
It's because for real, like Lorenz Tate, up until Power, every role he's had other than Menace and Power is he's the good guy. He's the person you root for. He's the like the decent person. Like you think about Love Jones, you think about like all the movies that he's been in. Lorenz Tate is kind of almost typecast as the good guy.
Good guy, yeah. I guess Dead Presidents, he might be a little anti-hero. I don't know how you view.
Yeah, but even then, he was. It's like you're made to feel sympathetic to him.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, this guy went and fought for our country and he came back and life is fucked up and da da da. Like he wasn't the wild one, like the Hispanic dude, can't remember his name. He wasn't like the fuck up like Chris Tucker. He was the good dude. He was basically see what happens to even good people if you put them in tough situations.
And war, yeah. But yeah, this is
why do fools fall in love, maybe that too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's a wild boy now.
But what?
That was good. That was a good movie.
What do you guys classify as like the best hood movie
ever?
Yeah,
best hood movie ever.
When you say hood movie, you mean like more do you put so like the hood loves it, or you mean the movie about the hood?
I'm talking about like The Wood, Baby Boy, Boys in the Hood, Paid in Full.
So movies that the hood loves.
Movies,
but like also, loved, but also based also, in,
based in the hood, yeah. About the hood, but okay. Also loved by the hood, you know.
Okay.
And we're not counting Friday because Friday, I think, is its own tier. Like everybody knows.
Friday. I mean, Friday is the answer, right?
Yeah, like, but not Friday, like a non-Friday.
Non-Friday. Yeah. For me, I would say I'm not saying this is the best one, but my favorite one, the one that I'll watch every time if it's on TV, I'll stop and watch. It's The Wood. I love that movie so much, man. I thought it was so fucking, I thought it was just a cool ass movie, man. Like that was the thing. I just thought that's a cool ass movie. It's funny. And it reminds me like of me and my friends, right? Like the way we did the conversations and shit like they have. Like it is, I'm gonna tell you what, it's not only the best hood movie to me, but actually, you know what it is? It's the best movie in terms of capturing what it's like being that age.
Right.
13, 14, 15 years, horny out your mind, but you ain't really getting none or whatever, but talking shit with your boys, like you're the one getting one, and go grab her ass, and who go get more numbers, and all, like, I can't think of any movie, white movie, black movie, whatever, that better, like, that's exactly what it's like. He in the dance, he starts to get a hard on, and then he's doing all that shit, man. Like,
and it's crazy that Rick now is doing Star Wars.
Star Wars, yep. Yeah. Yep. Jerv, what you got? Jerv's gonna say state property. Go ahead.
No. Off the top of my head, the first, like once you said Paid in Full, I was like, I was Paid in Full because I literally love that movie. But as you were just talking, does this qualify? Because if so, I might have to put it up there. Kids.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know if I would qualify it as a hood movie.
Hood
it's
movie.
It's a little white.
Too diverse. A little too diverse.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Had to ask.
But I can't. But you rewatch Kids like that? Like I.
It doesn't. So Kids is the type of thing where like I don't re. I don't. I never see it. Yeah. So like if it's on,
you can't.
I mean, actually, I haven't watched Kids probably in like fucking like. I just remember loving that movie. Like I thought it was amazing.
If you've never watched Kids, you're like, huh, Jerv, so just let me watch this movie. I'm gonna tell you right now, man, you better have a VPN or something. there might be some shit there that get you a knock on the door from the old child trafficking.
So I guess it'd be paid in full.
Yeah, that'd be my number two behind Menace. And I think I have Boys Three.
Like Menace holds a special place to me, though. Like Menace does. Menace was the first, I think the statute of limitations is over. Menace was the first movie that I realized how to switch cable boxes in my crib and get it for the free.
Yeah.
So Menace holds a special place. Special place in my heart. I figured that out.
For sure. Yeah, it was that era, man. Like,
what about you? Is Menace for you, Jason?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, man. Menace is like... Yeah. Like it's because that was also the area I grew up in. Like, I know all those streets, you know what I'm saying? All that shit that they were doing, like everything, it just seemed real.
Let me take it back. Huh? I love The Wood. If I'm gonna go with a serious movie, Fresh.
Yeah. Oh, Fresh. I just recently saw Fresh. Yeah.
That movie was dope. Fresh is another one that, like, when I watch movies, I'm like, this is exact. Well, I'll tell you, this is exactly
the
what 19.
Chess, right? The chess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This was exactly what 1994 was like. All of it. The way they dressed, the way they talk, the way the fucking the fat kid. Oh, I got the stupid Chucky. I got the stupid dope moves and like all that shit. That shit was so fucking true. And the kid that plays, who's the same kid from The Wood, the same kid who plays Big Mike from The Wood is Fresh. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the greatest acting jobs by like a kid that I've ever seen. Like, that motherfucker acted his ass off. I'm surprised he's not in more shit now, because remember, he was also in The Corner, which was that miniseries that came out before The Wire. It was about Baltimore. Yep. It had Charles S. Dutton in it. Like, he's a good ass actor.
He was the one. He was the one that just got killed.
He just got killed. Monet just murked this nigga.
The one that was thirsty on her after. Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you looking like that?
My nigga didn't even wait 60 days. He went right after them yams like 7 days after. Dog, he had to go.
Damn, bro.
So hurt right now.
Yeah, I was like, this nigga's a great actor. Why the fuck? Where is he at? Like, oh, he's in Power. Like, shit. Never mind.
Like Deep Cover, all that shit doesn't count, right? Like,
I mean, that counts. I mean,
it does. It does. If you want to put it, yeah. Like, I don't think that Deep Cover is that.
No, but what the one I watch all the time when it comes on, just because I love it, is In Too Deep.
Yeah, is that what LL Cool J?
Yeah, that's up there too for me. Like, I'm not saying it's an amazing movie, but it's just there's some great lines in that movie, man.
Hey, great soundtrack though.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise, but maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Fucking hell of a soundtrack.
Shout out to soundtracks, man.
Oh man, those are the days. Yo, speaking of soundtracks, this isn't a hood movie, but it was a great movie. It was an all time, it should have won a shit ton of awards and it didn't, but What's Love Got to Do with It? Shout out to the great Tina Turner, my mom's favorite musical artist of all time. She passed away, but man, I was having this conversation with my buddy today, and I want to open up to you guys. Tina Turner was a huge star with Ike, and then when she broke up with Ike, she was trying to find herself, and then she reinvented herself and managed to be an even bigger star. And I said, it reminded me of Michael Jordan winning 3 rings, and then his dad dies, and he goes to the baseball thing, and then he comes back. And if I told you at that point, hey, he's going to win 3 more rings, people would say, wow, that's an amazing career, but obviously the second 3 aren't going to be as great as the first 3. But no, he rebranded, came back even better than he was before at an age where typically athletes don't get better like that, right? Because physically they're not the same. Same thing with Tina Turner, to be a huge star and then come back as a quote unquote older woman in an industry that favors the young, and for her to be an even bigger star than she was before. Is there anyone else in music that you can think of that fits that bill?
I mean, I think there's one that's extremely obvious.
Who's that? Oh man, when he's about to make a dope point.
Either Beyonce or Rihanna, whoever he's about to say, did not, their other fan base is not feeling it.
What'd you say?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, but, yeah, yep. But, okay, so first of all, I'm agreeing with you, but the only difference I would say is that Michael Jackson's first stardom came as a child, so his second stardom, where he was an even bigger star, came in the prime of his career, pretty much.
Right. I'm
confused.
I guess the question that Amin is saying is somebody who their age wise would have seemed to be past their prime,
hit harder than their original stardom.
Yeah. Musically,
it's tough, man. I thought it's not too many people. You could say, the first name I thought was Madonna, but I was but Madonna's never been as big as she was, the fucking 80s Madonna, that shit before she changed her sound. We credit her for growing with the music and changing with the times, but the reality is the fucking, what's that? And I feel like I just, that song does not hit as hard as anything from her prime, which was the 80s, which is all that true shit and all that.
Drake?
No, not Drake. He's still in his prime.
But I'm saying his original stardom was on that show, right? A lot of people that do those shows,
No. Tina Turner was selling out stadiums fucking with Ike and shit, man. They had number one record.
It would be Beyonce.
No.
Destiny.
But she's still in her prime. I think it would have to be the person I'm thinking of is a Charlie Wilson, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie Wilson's a good one. Wilson's a good one. Isley Brothers. Ronald Isley's another one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
But none of them to the level of Tina Turner,
nobody was really, got older and had their biggest smash and was
Usher,
a superstar.
I think I'm finally getting the game now, gentlemen. I think Usher. It's taking me a while.
But I think Usher was, he was 28 when his shit blew up.
The first incarnation that you're talking about, Jerv, is basically everything from My Way until Confessions. Mm-hmm. Right. So when did his second act hit?
All this shit now. When he's fucking, but
he's not as big as he was Usher to My Way to Confessions. Usher now is not as big as fucking the peak of Usher. When he was doing all that shit in the late 90s.
He's headlining festivals again.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, name a new Usher record.
Didn't he just drop some shit?
Name it. Name it.
Didn't he just drop some shit? It's not the record.
No, I'm telling you, this is what, Derv, this is the way to think about it. Tina had Proud Mary over here in the 60s.
Whatever. Nas.
And again.
Nas.
Yes, but Nas. Let me put it this way. Let me finish what I'm saying. Tina had Proud Mary over here, right? And all the other songs, but Proud Mary is probably like the biggest hit with Ike. And then she came back with What's Love Got to Do with It, which annihilated fucking Proud Mary. Like, it's not just that, oh, she had another hit later. It's no. This is how you guys are going to remember me now. That's how big it was. In the same way that Michael Jordan had the first three-peat and he's dunking his spectacular move and all that shit. And then he has a second three-peat where we're like, this is how y'all will remember me, standing over Byron Russell. That's how. You don't remember me making that shot against Magic. You don't remember me shrugging. The shit you remember from Michael Jordan is fucking holding the follow-through like this, right?
Okay.
Usher is doing great right now. Shout out to Usher. But this, when you say, hey, name an Usher song, no one's going to name some shit that's after fucking Confessions. No one's naming a song that comes from after that era. When you ask people, hey, name a Nas song, no one's going to say fucking the shit that Hit Boy produced or whatever. They're going to name the shit, like the core shit from their original prime. Michael Jackson, that's why Michael Jackson's like the closest great example, because Rockin' Robin and all that shit was fucking bangers, ABC, all that shit. But when someone says, name a Michael Jackson song, no one says Rockin' Robin. They say Goddamn Beat It or Thriller or, you know, Bad or some shit like that.
So, obviously, I got two people in mind. They're not bigger than Tina Turner, naturally. But one's not black, Justin Timberlake.
That's a good one. But again, he's in his prime when he goes solo. Yeah. That's the prime of his career.
What the fuck, man?
It's tough, man.
All right, Pusha T. He was in the prime of his career with the Clips. Fuck that. I gotta get something right.
Yeah, maybe. Because here's the other thing. That's why Beyonce and Justin don't count, is because there was no downfall. Yo, Tina Turner's career was over, bro. Yeah. They say, hey, man, you an old lady. Don't want to listen to old lady music out here. Like, her career was over. Like, Justin Timberlake was like, it's only a matter of time before this woman can leave this shit. Beyonce, it's only a matter of time before she leaves this shit. Like, they knew what was happening.
Damn. Nah. I got nothing for you.
That lady is a legend. Yeah. That lady is a legend. Shout out to her. Quick question. Last one before we got to go. What's Love Got to Do with It, man? Is it okay to watch that movie, like, to... Look, it's a powerful story and amazing acting jobs, and and from what I understand, it's not even like Tina Turner didn't like the movie when she didn't like the idea of the movie. She didn't like the movie. When they asked her, have you seen the movie? She said no. They said, why not? She said, because I lived that shit. I don't need to fucking watch it again. But over time, she says, like, she realized that movie helped a lot of people understand domestic violence, and a lot of women find their voice and get out from toxic relationships like that. And so she appreciates it now more than when it first came out. Having said all that, there are certain scenes in What's Love Got to Do with It, terrible scenes, that make me laugh. Does that make me an awful person?
Nah.
I hear it now.
That's how we deal with trauma, like watching somebody go through some like sick ass trauma, you know, like even Jay-Z using the line "eat the cake" anime is kind of fucked up.
But that's the scene. That's the scene. That, I mean, it's an awful, ugly scene, and also, God damn, that shit was funny, man.
It's funny as fuck. Because her homegirl like leaving and getting mad, like yelling at her and shit, like. That shit is real as fuck, but it's comedy watching her go off on Ike. Like, fuck you, Ike.
Yeah. But my favorite part was at the end, Ike is like, It is some good ass cake though. Yeah. God damn, Florence Fishburne. That's an acting ass motherfucker right there, man.
Man, that's a cold nigga right there, dog. Yeah.
He doesn't get enough flowers. I'll be honest with you.
Because he's Boys in the Hood. He's The Matrix. Yep. He's Ike Turner. He's all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Othello.
Like, Othello.
Is that the homie from The Matrix?
No, Othello is fucking Shakespeare, dude. God damn it. On that note.
We gotta end the show like that.
That's the whole thing. I fucking hate this. Damn, you a real nigga, Jerry. You just... Well, at least a nigga rich. Oh, man. That's gonna do it for us here today. Remember, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you are a Patreon. We are unleashing those new tiers in terms of like the things that you get, including right now you're getting Cinephobe episodes, zero ads. I know lately you guys are saying that's a lot of ads in this. Well, if you're a Patreon, you don't have to deal with those ads. Make sure you're locked in for Jason Madison, for John Gervais, for Black Trey. I'm Amino Hassan, reminding you to stay black, motherfuckers.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.